Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, each and every one this night. Giving honor to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, thanking him for another opportunity and another day of his love and mercy and grace. Thanking him for salvation. Thanking him for looking over us throughout this day, giving us traveling mercy in and out as we was out and about today. Thanking him for the rain. He knows exactly when we need, how we need it. I thank him for all of my family members doing well. I thank him for how he's taking care of all of my loved ones. Asking prayer for my companion. She's a little tired in her body. Continue to just pray for all of our leaders, all of our loved ones. We're going to put in our prayer request so we can get started and just continue to put this show in the hands of our Lord and Savior tonight, asking him to bless every word that's said, lead us with his Holy Spirit, whatever he has for us tonight to be led by the Spirit of God. And just continue to trust the Lord. Have faith that everything could just go according to his will. We're going to pray for the sick and the needy, the homeless people. We have homeless people around my job that just sit around the area and sleep at night. And when I go in early in the morning, they're laid up under the building next door from where I work at. And you know, it's sad to see that. But we're going to continue to pray for them. We're going to pray for our ministry. We're going to pray for the bereaved family. And ask in prayer for the Powell family. Just found out that one of the members of the Powell family no later than 20, 25 minutes ago passed. Good man I know for life. And we just got the word about 10 minutes ago about it. And we asked in prayer for the Powell family. So much is going on day in and day out. Continue to pray for our children, the schools, the teachers, the police force. Just so much that we need prayer for right now because so much is going on around the world. Pray for our president, his family, all of the nation and world leaders, that God will intervene to help them make the right decisions for whatever goes. We know that everything's not going to go the way that we want, but there's a lot of things and a lot of Christians that have been led by lies, and they're believing it and continuing to follow it. And they continue to say they're children of God. Ask God to open up their eyes and understand and to see that we have to live this life according to the word of God and the will of God. We're going to go into prayer right now. We're going to pray for all of the young men, the old men, young women, old women. We're just going to continue to pray for any sickness that anyone may be going through right now, whatever it may be. God's got it, and he can do anything but fail. We have to have trust and belief and have faith in him through his son, Jesus Christ. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, dear God, humbling ourselves, knowing, Lord, that you are the main source for every need, every help, every spoken word right now, dear God, that we put in your hands and give to you. It's no good that I've done, dear God, because I fell in life. But, Lord, I thank you for loving me, giving me another opportunity to get it right day in and day out, that I open my eyes to be able to see the next day from your love and mercy. I thank you, Lord, for giving us this show to be able to share an encouraging word about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to help someone, Lord, whether they do or whether they don't accept it, that they are hear it and take it in. Because, Lord, it's you that gives the increase. We're going to continue to pray for them. We're going to continue to love them, love one another, pray for one another, and continue to seek and come before you, dear God. Every prayer request that's been requested tonight, Lord, we ask that you bless, Lord, the people that's going through. So much is going on in this whole world, dear God. Time's winding up. And, Lord, I want to make it in. You know our hearts, dear God. You know what we're all about. And, Lord, we ask you to search our hearts, dear God. Turn on your searchlight from heaven, dear Lord. All the things that are within, Lord, that shouldn't be, take it out, Lord. Insert all the good things that we need to make it on this journey, dear God. We need you right now. Hallelujah. We need you, Lord, more than we've ever needed you before. Bless your people. Bless your servants. We're just here to give you the glory and honor, dear God. Help us to move aside, move self out of the way, dear God. Give you all the honor and glory and praise, because without you, Lord, there's no life. Without you, Lord, we can't make it. Without you, dear God, we wouldn't be in our right minds today. We honor you, Lord. We serve you. We praise your holy name. All of the listeners out there tonight, Lord, we ask that you bless them, dear God. We ask that you bless this show tonight, Lord, that something good will come out of it for someone, even if there is only one, dear God. We give it to you. Bless, Lord. Encourage, dear God, to us, Lord. Let your spirit reign within us, Lord, to share something encouragement to the people tonight. We just want to do your will, dear God. Your will. Let your will be done. Not mine. Let your will be done, dear God. Thy will be done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've already done. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for what you're going to do in advance as we go forth. As it's already been stated, Lord, bless this show tonight for encouraging words to come from it. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to say good evening to everyone. Thanking God for you. Thanking God for you coming on, joining with us. Hoping that we can do what's right before the Lord and in his sight to help someone. Not just self, but to help someone out there. I was just looking over something, and this is a little something that I come up when I, you know, be looking around, searching for something, just, you know, no in particular thing that I, you know, led by the Spirit of God on stuff that I see, and I'll go with it the best that I can. And this says, what is the sinner's prayer? The sinner's prayer is a Christian term for a prayer that is said when someone wants to repent of their sin. It says ask God for forgiveness and state belief in life, death, and saving resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, declared not guilty, justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Praise God. So that's the sinner's prayer. If the sinner man is praying any other prayer but that prayer for Christ to come into his life to repent and ask Christ into his life, that's as far as his prayer goes when he says, I pray for you, until he get his life in order and right with God. You know, sometimes you hate to say things, but it's true. And this is what it's all about, being true and truth, to let you know the way things are. Now, I didn't say this. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this is the way. And this is sinner's prayer. And I'm going to read it one more time. It says that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Profess your faith and believe that Jesus has done just what he said once you confess and give it to him. So that's what we have to do. I'm going to go down here and read something else. We're going to go with sinner's prayer from Scripture. Because this is where we have to understand. It comes from the Word of God. It don't come from me. What can I do? I have to accept it and receive it the same way you do. We all do. In order to become a child of God. Psalms 51, King David. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I have been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. That Psalms 51 lets us all know David told the Lord to have mercy on him, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. So it lets us know everyone has to go to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ one way, only one way, no other way that you can be saved but through and by the belief, the hope, and the faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the sinner's prayer, that you come before the Lord and repent. Get your life in order and in the right way. We all come to a point in life that things come about. We fail in some order or some way. But God gives us a way to come back, to repent. Ask for forgiveness of our sin, that we will look to him for help and hope in Jesus to be able to live a life. Young men out there, this is the way to Christ. We are wanting to help you in a way to encourage you when you're going through something. Don't go out and hit the bottle or fire up your joint, or however it may be. This was the old man in me, what I used to do. I can't lie about it. I was out there in the world one day, and this is what I looked to, the things that I enjoyed doing within a worldly way. And it wasn't good for me, but I did it because I liked it and I enjoyed it. And I always said, I'm not ready to, you know, be saved. I can't have no fun if I get saved. But that was wrong, because I could. I could have just as much fun on the other side of the world, living a world without sin in our Lord Jesus Christ, than I could out there in the world. Once you begin to live for Christ and he changes your life, it's a learning process from that point on, daily learning process, to learn how to pray, to learn what to pray for and what about, and to continue to serve the Lord. I've had a lot of friends that's not saved out there, and people that's out in the world tell me, say, well, I'm praying for you. But their prayers is not so or not true until they come to the understanding that they have to pray the sinner's prayer to become a child of God, to be able to pray for someone. You're just talking, and your prayer's not going anywhere. It's not helping anyone. But a lot of people think it is. So I don't want to lie and let you know that, you know, it's all right. We have to pray that prayer of salvation. through and by the will and the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to repent, believe that Jesus came to save us from this old worldly sin in our lives. I want to read this Bible verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." We don't have anything to boast about because it's nothing that we have done. Do you think we need Jesus, that he come and died for us if we felt that we could save ourselves or do for ourselves the way that we think we could? Jesus came for a purpose and a plan. And he has the best plan for our lives that anyone could ever imagine. Every day is not sunny. Every day is not a day that you feel all right. There's days you feel bad. There's days you're down and out. Just because you're a Christian don't mean that you're going to be able to go through this world with no pains, no sorrows, and not hurt from situations of people in life. But we have to continue to repent, ask God to forgive us for the way we feel, because we get a feeling sometimes about certain things that people may say or certain things people may do in our lives. But we have to repent and ask God to forgive us, that we may be able to go through this situation of people and ask God to bless them, change their heart, change their mind, and continue to live the life that he set forth for us. Because if we don't get it right, we're in the same situation as the sinner man. We have to get it right in our lives too. We have to live this life every day. Every day. We have to pray every day. Read our word every day. Look to Jesus and seek him every day. Every day, all day. Trusting in Jesus. There's a special and certain kind of love and joy that he can give you in your life when you're hurt, when you're down and out, that no one else can give you. And you know it's only him because even though through the pains you're still smiling, you still have joy inside to go through. And only Jesus could give you this. It's hard when people hurt you and you have to go through that situation. But Jesus, when he touches you, that you may let that pass, not to forget, but let it pass and go on by, and ask him to help you to deal with the situation at hand, we're going to go through. And to all of you young men out there that may be listening, we have a role to play in our lives growing up, from young growing up, from learning from our parents to do what's right when it comes to a relationship with a young lady, or if you have kids, to be able to respect and teach them in the right way. It's the man's job to help raise those kids and let those kids know that I love you. Pray with them together to let them know about Jesus, what it's all about. Why are we praying? Why are we calling on the name Jesus? And let them know what Jesus has done for you and what he's doing for us, what he's doing for them. We have to do these things. I'm going to read another verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. "And there is salvation in no one else, For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. You know, everywhere we look through the Bible when it comes to getting your life right, it all has to do with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that died, shed his blood, hung on that cross for you, for me, for us, to be able to have salvation or an opportunity at the tree of life. So there's no excuse. People can't say, well, they didn't have a chance. They had all kind of chances to hear the word around them, to hear the word through someone else. And maybe that was the time when you heard something about it and you was listening in that you should have went ahead and repented and said, Lord, I thank you for being able to hear this. Forgive me of my sin. And asked him to help you through this situation and repent and give your life to Christ that you may be able to lead your family, help your family. If you will be led by the Spirit of God, young men out there tonight and young women that are starting out a family at a young age, trying to buy a house, trying to buy a car to support and work for your family. If you would involve Christ to come into your life and lead you with his Holy Spirit in the right way and find you a spiritual counselor in whom you trust in that may be able to help you through your hardship and hard times, that's what you need. There's always someone willing, waiting to help the young person. They're going through so much nowadays with their families, with their children, with their relationships, not knowing how to handle these situations because it's hard to them. Things seem unfair to them. Because everybody out there is looking at the situations at hand. A lot of people's made wrong right and made right wrong. So we have to be the ones as God's children to share this information, to be real and truthful with this information. And we have to do it from Scripture. To where when they come out and they say, well, I don't know about that. Well, God's word is what says it. That's what I go by. That's what I trust. That's what I believe. Every word I believe that Jesus had made for us to live by, to learn by, and to share by one another. I'm going to read this one right here. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way. There's no other way. Jesus is way. He is the truth and the life for salvation. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 to 33 says, then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is when Nicodemus was asking the Lord, he wanted to know. And they said,
believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you and your household. This is one of the Samaritans. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. So this was a sinner man that wanted to know what could he do to be saved. And Jesus let him know what it took, what he had to do, and said him and his whole household was saved. So he believed, he trusted in Jesus, knowing that that was the way to salvation. And we have to do the same. We have Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of generation and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So this is what we have forward to look to. We have to do it the right way, the Bible's way. Pray this prayer for salvation. It says, Lord, I admit I am a sinner. I need and want your forgiveness. I accept your death as the penalty for my sin and recognize that your mercy and grace is a gift you offer to me because of your great love, not based on anything I have done. Cleanse me and make me your child. By faith I receive you into my heart as the Son of God and as Savior and Lord of my life. From now on, help me live for you. With you in control and your precious name, amen. So this right here is letting you know that if you pray this prayer sincerely, deep down inside your heart, that you will be saved. Praise the Lord. God is good, and all the time God's good. We're going to open up the mic and just continue to praise and worship the Lord for all he is, all he means, all he's doing, all he's done. To God be the glory. The prayer of the sinner. It says the sinner's prayer. We have to understand to accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's something you have to do. And just believe and trust that with faith in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Good evening, brother. I'm going to open up the mic for comments, words of inspiration, or just whatever the Spirit of the Lord leads you. Praise the Lord, brother. Your mic's open. Would you like to speak on anything?
Yes, sir. Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Praise God.
Yes, yes, praise the Lord. I was sitting in there with my wife, and we're watching this preacher from Texas on YouTube. We're watching kind of regular, and his wife speaking also tonight. I enjoyed what you were talking about then, and, you know, it brings back to my mind where I was and where I am now, you know?
Yeah.
And And I realized that when, you know, when you use that word saved, you know, it used to tell me, it's like, saved from what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And over a period of time, you know, it started to haunt me. You're being saved from death. You've been saved from sin. You've been rescued out of the world, rescued from all that chaos going on, you know what I'm saying? And when we're rescued, when God, when His Spirit draws us and we get rescued, we should want to go back into the same thing, you know?
That's
just like,
right.
Just like somebody just drowning. Somebody's in a pool or in the ocean and they're drowning, and someone comes to their rescue, they're saving them from drowning, you know, dying or drowning. And then when they come to the shore, it's like, okay, I ain't going to try that again, you know, because if a person does try that again, they may not get rescued.
That's
if
right.
It happens again, you know. So for a person needs to take it to heart that when there is rescue available, we need to reach out and get that thing. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't swim. And in high
me
school,
either. Me either.
And high school, we had a pool. And it was a long pool. One side was women. The other side was boys. And they had a door in between. So the first day in 12th grade, it's like they were telling everybody, well, you got to learn how to swim in order to graduate, right? I said, ain't no thing. You know, I can swim underwater, you know. So here I go.
That's amazing.
I jumped in the water. I knew I couldn't swim, but I jumped in the water thinking I could do my thing. And there I am drowning, and they put that pole with the curved end in it and got me out, you know. And he said, you can't swim. Who told you could swim? And I said, well, I can swim underwater, you know. And I thought that was okay, but see, I was ignorant of the fact that water is dangerous, you know.
Just like
out in the world is dangerous, and if we're out there doing something we don't know nothing about, it could cost us our life, you know. Just like swimming, you jump, you get on out there, like in the ocean, people go out there and jump the waves and stuff, right? The seabed is not flat all the way out. You know, you get so far, there's a drop off. And we think we're safe. We go out so far, we'd be okay. But there is danger lurking, and that danger is the enemy. You know, there is danger. The enemy, he is full of danger and obstacles and roadblocks and whatever else. You know, and we just have to be careful. So we should get that opportunity to be rescued. We need to thank God and say, Lord, I thank you, because that could have been me over there, or by the grace of God, there go I, you know, and develop a relationship with the one that rescued us. It ain't the preacher, you know. It ain't my mother, you know what I'm saying? It ain't the assistant pastor, the bishop, you know. It ain't the presbytery. It's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
And that's our agent where we're being rescued. We need to cling to that thing because, you know, hey, like I said, I drowned that one time, and I know it ain't no good feeling having water going up in your nose when it should be just air. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you fight, and you can't do it by yourself. You need some help. So when help comes, it's a relief. Man.
Yeah.
Thank God for that guy just come and save me. But that word, saved, especially when you put a D on the end, means past tense.
Uh-huh.
I've been saved, you know. So we need to keep that thing strong and keep it going and stay that way. No need to go back out there and venture again and drown, you know, and this time be lost. There's nobody to rescue us, you know.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
We are all born, now it says, are we all born sinners? And it says the Bible makes it clear that we are all born sinners by nature. We are sinful with sinful desires. Every man and every woman has inherited the sin of Adam. This is why Scripture teaches us that the nature, we are children of wrath. And, you know, it lets us know that, that we are born this way because of what Adam did when he transgressed what God had given him in sin by, you know, letting his wife give him something that he knew he wasn't supposed to do. He was supposed to be over the wife, but the wife came to the point that she was over him. Because he gave in to the negativity that she was sharing. Because she knows, you know, God hadn't spoke to her and told her not to eat of forbidden fruit. He gave the commandment to Adam. And Adam went ahead. And then after he did, he played the blame game. That woman.
That's right, bro.
Well, the woman had to fall back. She had to blame somebody, so she blamed the serpent. Well, the poor serpent, well, I ain't going
to
say poor serpent because he was there to deceive. When he looked back to go ahead and pass the blame game on somebody or whatever, he didn't have nobody to look back on because he already deceived her, and the deceiving just carried. So just because of that situation, as we are conceived in the mother's womb, whether we have committed any sin or not, we are considered sinners because of what Adam done and messed the whole world up, that we had to face this situation. And then God had to make a way for us to be out of this situation. So through and by his son, Jesus Christ, that was our way of rescue. And
that's it.
God made it possible for us to be rescued through and by his son. So no one has an excuse for whatever the situation may be or whatever they may say. They have no excuse. Psalms 58:3, Psalms 58:3, the wicked are entangled from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. They go astray. It says the wicked are estranged from birth, from the womb. And it says they go astray from birth, speaking lies. So it's already in us when we're conceived and come into this world, because of what has already been done. But we all have a way out. We all have a choice that we are able to make on our own without anyone making a decision for us. You know, as small children, we had our parents that, made decisions for us. When something come about, it would make that decision. Well, this is what you're going to do here. This is what you're going to wear this day. This is what you're going to do when you come home. You're going to do your schoolwork. You're going to do your everyday chores and things. But this journey, we don't have someone telling us what this is what you're going to do. Because when Christ came, he gave everyone their own free will to pick and choose the life that they would live before him. Whether it be a world of sin out into the world, or whether you would accept his salvation for what he did on that cross for you before he descended on high back to the Father, he gave each and every one of us that opportunity. So we can't say, well, they didn't have a chance, so I didn't have a chance, you know. They just went ahead and made it this way and that way. No, God gave you a chance through his son to get it right, but it was your decision when you looked and you thought better of what your thoughts would be compared to God's thought. You thought you knew more. Yeah. You thought you knew what you needed, what you wanted, how you wanted to do it. But if we follow the plan that God has given us through and by his son, Jesus Christ, and read his word and study and pray for understanding, wisdom, and knowledge through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and let the Spirit lead us in the right way, ask the Lord, give me your spirit, Lord, and lead me with it, and give me discernment of spirit for the right and the wrong I need on this journey. Every day, every way, we have to continue to put it in God's hands, because he's the only one through his son, Jesus Christ, that can see us through, deliver us out of things that seem like they're impossible. But he can do it. And we got to trust him and have faith and believe that thy will be done in our lives and around us.
Yes, yes, sir.
Go right ahead, brother. Anything else?
No, that's found it, bro. Bound in. I put my little 2 cents in.
Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. So if it's saying your iniquities have separated you from God and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear, how do we have so many sinners out into the world coming and saying, knowing the sinner's prayer is of repentance and belief and faith through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, confessing with the mouth. But yet still, this verse tells you plainly, unless your iniquities, your sin have been moving and you've asked for that forgiveness through repentance, your prayer won't be heard. The sinner's prayer is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and lead your life.
Yes.
Anything beyond that that the sinner's praying, where is it going to? Because they can't come up and say, well, I pray for you. I'm sorry that happened. I'm praying for you. They can say it, but we all know as Christians and when we're a child of God and we're saved and God has taught us within the right way through his word and how to live and given us that discernment of spirit to know right and wrong through the word. And he's given us Bible verses that we can go by that I don't have to say, well, this is what I say, or this is what I do. I'm going to tell you by scripture, this is what God says, not what I say.
Yeah, that's right.
He's
God's word.
It. So you have to realize that all the prayers that you've been praying, unless it's prayer of repentance,
yes, sir,
deliverance to change your life, doing by the will of God, you can pray all day long, but it's not going to reach nowhere until you pray that sinner's prayer of repentance. You're working to be able to pray for people in the order that God has given you to pray for them. So a lot of people think that it's all right to say, well, I pray for you, when really they can't pray for you. They might have good intentions on what they say and what they as far as praying for you, but there's a way that we have to do, and there's a will of God letting you know what and how you have to do this. This is something that takes a whole lot more than people think. I've heard a lot of people say, well, it ain't going to take all that. It don't take all of that. Yes, it does. It takes all of that and more. because we don't know. We have to continue to look for the Lord. We have to continue to pray. We have to continue to go ahead and trust in Jesus. Revelation 21:8 says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, and detestable, as for murderers and sexually immoral, sorceries, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So
yes, sir.
That's letting you know right there, if you don't get it right with the Lord, you can pray as much as you want to, but you're going to face that second death. It says you will, your portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. So you already know the scriptures tell you clearly. I don't have to say nothing but just give you the word of God that's true all by itself. I don't have to add. I don't have to take it away. I give it to you straight from the book. The King James Version of the Bible, the word that comes from out of that Bible is the way that it says we have to live. Any other way outside of that, you're living in sin, and you're not doing what's right before the Lord. It's your decision to be able to change from it. You can't say, well, I guess my father wasn't no good, so I don't guess I'm going to be no good either. You blame it on him, but Jesus came to give you a better life, but you still want to live on that back life that your father had when you were young growing up and put it on him. You know, fathers have troubles and situations in their life, too. They're going through something. The children going through something. And then you want to blame the father for the mistakes that you make when you are your own free person to make the wrong or make the right decisions. Can't blame it on no one. But a lot of children is blaming it on mama or daddy when not so. Jesus would have not died and shed his blood on that cross, buried and resurrected, were buried and went down into the damnable spirits to talk to the ones there to preach to them.
That's right.
And
get them
ascended
out
on high to the Father for it to be that way. So everybody had an opportunity. Everybody has a chance. While the blood's running warm in your veins.
Yes, sir.
You can't say, well, I don't know. I didn't know. Or, I don't know, you know, if it hadn't have been for my mom, you know, put me through this or put me through that and everything. I admit there's a lot of children that come through addictive birth and things like that to where, you know, the addiction is hard on the children and things. But when Jesus, our Lord and Savior, delivers you from a situation in your life, he's not delivering you out of it for nothing. He's delivered you because you wanted to have that sincere heart and mind to repent and come in to his life living, or come in to the family of God to live the life that he's given to you to live. You have no one else to blame but yourself, because the Bible makes it clear. We can't blame the Word of God because it's true all by itself.
Yes, sir.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So that means your name's not found in the book of life. Oh, yeah, there's another place that you're going to go besides heaven. And don't think it's over after that death, because you're going to suffer eternal damnation with gnashing of the teeth and things in life that you're going to be there. You're going to feel it. You're going to be tormented. You're going to be crying and life ongoing, you know, for you, where you didn't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So the Bible makes clear of what the situation is and what it's going to be. So you don't have no one to blame but self.
That's right. Yourself.
Self has a place to play in this world too. So you have to make the choice. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28 and 29 says, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Verse 29, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, well, that right there is telling you what's going to happen. You didn't fear the Lord. I mean, not in as fear as in fearful things, but He's giving you an opportunity, and he lets you know what was going to happen because you chose not to serve him. It was your choice. He's letting you know you have a choice to make without anyone telling you this is what you're going to do or that's what you're going to do. You have your own choice to make, but he's letting you know what's going to happen if you don't. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So it's letting you know again, if you choose sin and you're praying to the God of salvation, he's not listening because you're not praying the sinner's prayer of repenting and forgiving. Well, this verse is telling you right here, too. I mean, if I had cherished sin in my heart, what would happen? The Lord would not have heard or listened. Why is he going to listen to you? His people that saved out of grace and faith in Jesus, they're praying a prayer of forgiveness, repentance to the Lord. And sinner man, what makes you think you wouldn't have to pray that same prayer to receive the salvation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? It's only one way, through faith in Jesus, that we can live this life, that we can pray one another, that we can love one another. Sin get in the way, God turns his face from you. So why are you praying if you're the sinner man and don't want to repent and turn to God? No reason. I do thank God and honor him for life, health, and strength tonight, thanking him for the show that we've had, thanking him for the Holy Spirit leading and blessing us through this show once again to do God's will. Not my will, but led by the Spirit of God to do the best that we can. Thank you, brother, for coming on. Thank you for the input and the blessed words that have come about. We thank God for everyone that may be listening out to and by the show. And with that said, shalom.
Shalom, brother. Shalom.
Praise God. Amen.